right. This is case 79122 COA Giano Amato versus Jennifer Martinez. This is the appeal from the child custody order made in the district court. And there's another case in the Supreme Court, but we're not involved in that one. So we're just sticking to the issues that are brought in this particular case. This is part of the pro bono program. We appreciate the counsel taking a case on like this. Very much appreciated. And we have Jennifer, Jessica Whelan and Julie Kavanaugh Bill. All right, Ms. Whelan, you may go ahead.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good afternoon, and may it please the court. My name is Jessica Whelan, and again, I represent appellant Giano Amato, the father of the child involved in this custody dispute. This case involves two distinct but related issues. First, whether the district court abused its discretion in modifying child custody without a full and fair hearing, without considering the best interests of the child, and without making specific findings of fact. Second, whether there exists actual or perceived bias on the part of the district court judge, such that reassignment to a different department on remand is warranted. I'll begin with a brief review of key facts as it relates to custody over the years. Respondent had sole custody of the child until October 2012, when Mr. Amato established paternity by DNA evidence and was granted joint legal and physical custody. The parties then shared custody for 3.5 years until May 2016, when respondent began dealing with substance abuse issues and Mr. Amato was granted sole legal and physical custody. Almost 2 years later, in March 2018, after a recommendation from the party's parenting coordinator, respondent began limited supervised visitation. Just over 2 months later, in June 2018, the district court awarded joint legal custody and unsupervised weekend visitation for respondent. 2.5 months later, on August 27, 2018, on respondent's motion, the court modified custody to joint legal and physical. 3 days later, respondent filed a motion seeking sole legal and physical custody, and this brings us to the critical dates in this case. On September 4, 2018, the district court held a hearing on respondent's motion to modify. Mr. Amato was not present at that hearing due to his required attendance at an unrelated criminal matter. Those criminal charges were subsequently dismissed. So the matter was reset for hearing for the next day. And on that day, respondent lodged child abuse allegations against Mr. Amato, which he vehemently denied. Despite this denial, the district court ordered that the party's parenting coordinator conduct an interview with the child, that respondent take temporary physical custody, and that Mr. Amato have no contact with the child in the interim. At the status check 2 weeks later, on September 19, 2018, after having no contact with his child, Mr. Amato attempted to present evidence to rebut the child abuse allegations that had been previously brought. The exchange between Mr. Amato and the judge became heated, with the two talking over each other, the judge repeatedly telling Mr. Amato that he would someday have his day in court, Mr. Amato expressing that he did not feel heard, and the judge goading him. Mr. Amato grew increasingly frustrated and, to get the judge's attention and out of frustration, stated on the record that he would like to relinquish his rights. The judge then immediately turned to respondent, gave her clear legal advice on how to move to terminate Mr. Amato's parental rights. He instructed her to hire an attorney, told her how the termination needed to occur to be effective, and ordered her to get that done soon and before he changes his mind. Respondent heeded the judge's advice and on March 20th, 2019, filed a complaint for termination of parental rights in what I will term the termination case. It was not until May 30th, 2019, that the district court entered its order confirming the change of custody and its order to respondent to initiate termination proceedings immediately. In the past 18 months, Mr. Amato has had no contact with his daughter and has been fighting the fallout from that one misguided statement in both the custody case and the termination case. Turning to my first issue, the district court abused its discretion in its September 19, 2018 custody modification for three reasons. First, it failed to give Mr. Amato a full and fair hearing, allowing him to present evidence. Second, it failed to set forth specific findings of fact. And third, it failed to consider the best interests of the child. First, under Nevada law, before a parent loses custody of a child, there must be factual evidence supporting that change, and due process requires adequate notice and a full and fair hearing concerning disposition of the child. The fact that Mr. Amato did not receive a full and fair hearing is evident on the face of the September 19th transcript. Although that proceeding was termed a status check, Mr. Amato brought evidence and was prepared to defend himself. But the district court refused to allow him to present his evidence, promised him that he would have an opportunity to be heard. But once he made the relinquishment statement, that opportunity vanished along with any semblance of due process. The court then summarily awarded sole legal and physical custody to respondent a mere 6 months after she had reentered her child's life and less than a month after joint legal and physical custody was reinstated. Second, NRS 125C.0035 subsection 4 requires that a court modifying custody set forth specific findings concerning the basis for its decision. The district court's five-sentence order, entered nearly 9 months after the hearing, simply states as rationale, plaintiff moved to relinquish his rights. The court informed defendant to hire counsel and commence the process of relinquishing plaintiff's parental rights. This order falls woefully short of meeting the statutory requirement of specific findings. Third, NRS 125C.0035 provides that in any action for determining physical custody of a minor child, the sole consideration is the best interest of the child. Subsection 4 lists 12 factors that a court must consider when determining the best interest of the child. And the Nevada Supreme Court has made clear that each one of these 12 factors must be considered. Now, the reason for this statutory requirement is twofold. First, it ensures that the district court is not making a custody determination for improper purposes. And second, it allows for fulsome review by the appellate courts. Here, the district court failed to consider any of the requisite factors and, in fact, wholly disregarded what was in the best interest of the child. Instead, the court relied on Mr. Amato's single sentence purported relinquishment of rights to award respondent sole legal and physical custody. Now, respondent cites to a laundry list of Mr. Amato's alleged sins and missteps over the years, which ostensibly justify the district court's modification. Even assuming that everything alleged is true, which it most certainly is not, it does nothing to change the fact that the district court denied Mr. Amato fundamental due process and violated the statute by failing to afford him the opportunity to be heard, failing to issue specific findings, and failing to consider the best interest of the child. The Nevada Supreme Court has cautioned that courts may not use changes of custody as a sword to punish parental misconduct, but that it appears that that is exactly what happened here. Respondent further argues that Mr. Amato stipulated to the custody modification and therefore no specific findings were required. This assertion finds no basis in fact or law. Mr. Amato never stipulated in writing, and his errant statement regarding relinquishment of parental rights cannot be interpreted as a stipulation to modify custody. Even if it could be, such an oral stipulation would not be valid under EDCR 7.50. If there are no questions on the first issue, I'll move to the matter of reassignment and disqualification.
Okay. All right. You have 5 minutes left before you reach the three-minute mark.
Thank you, Your Honor. So the parties appear to agree that because Mr. Amato seeks disqualification for bias arising during the course of the official proceedings, rather than a claim of extrajudicial bias, that Mr. Amato must show that deep-seated favoritism or antagonism exists that would make fair judgment impossible. Here, the demeanor of the district court judge, who had been with this case for 6 years at the time, changed drastically from the point that Mr. Amato failed to appear at the September 4th, 2018 hearing. The briefing lays out a number of actions taken by the judge that demonstrate his bias and his inability to be impartial. First, giving unsolicited legal advice to respondent from the bench to ensure that she heard Mr. Amato's statement, to tell her to retain an attorney because it would be worth, quote, every penny, to advise her that the termination had to be done in the right format with witnesses, and to impress upon her the urgency of the situation, that is to do it soon and before he changes his mind. Second, issuing the May 30th, 2019 order, which requires respondent to process the termination of parental rights immediately. Third,
wanted to clarify one thing. When you said before he changes his mind, the judge was referring to Mr. Amato. Before Mr. Amato changes his mind that he will relinquish his parental rights, not that the judge changes his mind about whether he would terminate the rights. So the judge didn't
Correct.
express what he would do in the termination case. He was just telling her that, hey, if he's going to relinquish his rights, get him to sign off right now because he might change his mind.
Correct, Your Honor. And this simply shows that the judge kind of pounced on Mr. Amato's decision. What the judge should have done in this situation was de-escalate things because things had grown heated and canvass Mr. Amato to make sure that he understood the implications of that statement. It's a serious statement. Mr. Amato was appearing pro se at that hearing, and he grew frustrated. After 6 years with this family, the judge knew that Mr. Amato grows frustrated, at times does have outbursts in the court. And so the best thing to do would have been to de-escalate the situation, canvass him, as the district court judge did in this court's unpublished disposition, Conway v. Conway. Canvass him, make sure he understood so that things could proceed appropriately for the judge to then make the determination of what's in the best interest of the child. Instead, he seemed to be aligning himself with respondent there. So the third fact that weighs in favor of reassignment is that the district court barred Mr. Amato from any contact with his child and thereafter punished him for that fact, claiming that he went 6 months without having contact with his child. Fourth, the judge preemptively denied any request for temporary visitation while the termination proceedings were pending, despite Mr. Amato's recanting of that request to relinquish. Fifth, the judge made repeated Freudian slips, inserting himself as a vested participant in the termination proceeding. For example, in response to Mr. Amato's request for visitation, he stated, "We're going to see if we're successful in the termination first." Then he caught himself, "Or she's successful in the termination first, and then we'll go from there." A second statement was made when he ensured respondent understood the implications of pursuing termination. He said, "You understand if and when," and then caught himself, "if, I shouldn't say when, if you are successful in terminating his rights, any child support obligations get washed away." Sixth, refusing to accept Mr. Amato's evidence at the September 19th status check while contemporaneously judging that evidence as not credible. Seventh, expressing disbelief and disdain relating to Mr. Amato's representations, including his representations that he made child support payments through the mail to respondent, which later proved to be true by respondent's own admission. Eighth, when proven wrong about Mr. Amato's child support payments, the judge wrote off the payments as nothing more than, quote, token efforts. And ninth, he appointed counsel for respondent sua sponte while failing to appoint counsel for the child, whose interests and rights are at the very center of this court's inquiry. I see that my time is running low, so in sum, the district court has repeatedly shown that it is unwilling to consider what is in the best interest of the child and has exhibited a total disregard for Mr. Amato's rights as a parent. The only way to ensure that the motion to modify custody is properly handled on remand is to reassign the case to a new department. We therefore request that on remand this case be reassigned. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Whalen. Then you'll have 3 minutes for a rebuttal. All right, Ms. Kavanaugh-Bill, I'm setting the timer now at 15, and I'm starting it. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you, Judge. So with respect to the issues at stake here, I know in our briefing, we highlighted the point that this was a voluntary statement by Mr. Amato. So in looking in terms of if the judge could or couldn't grant Ms. Martinez's, and good afternoon, may it please the court, I'm sorry. I'm Julie Kavanaugh-Bill. I represent Jennifer Martinez, the mother in this case. So getting back to my argument, in instances of custody cases, oftentimes we see competing motions. In this case, in August, dad actually filed the first motion. But the mother should not be held in contempt. She was withholding the child from him. And then she quickly counter-motioned that, seeking sole legal and sole physical custody. So at the time of the September 4th hearing, there were actually two motions that were pending, father's motion and mother's motion. And the court did what a lot of the district court judges do in these types of cases. They sent the child to the parenting coordinator to have a neutral third party interview the child based on the allegations that the child had stated to the police officer about father allegedly committing child abuse and neglect on her. These are serious allegations, and the district took it seriously. He explained to Mr. Amato in court that this was what was going to happen. It's true that Mr. Amato did not show up for the first hearing on September 4th, and the court, as a courtesy, actually had his staff get on the phone and call him to see what was going on. And then he continued the hearing to the next day. So there was no penalty against Mr. Amato. The district court gave him the first chance and then the second chance to come in. Mr. Amato's idea to send the child for an interview with the parenting coordinator, he did want to be in the interview with the child, which the district court judge properly did not think was appropriate. So that interview took place. He explained to Mr. Amato that during the time until he had gotten the report back from the parenting court, there would be no contact, just to protect the child. And he didn't say it on the record, but assumed to protect Mr. Amato from more allegations. And that is not unusual in these types of cases with these types of allegations. So when they came back on September 9th, the court was clear that this was a status hearing only. There were still the two motions pending. No decision had been made. And when Mr. Amato, he obviously did not like the parenting coordinator's report. But the judge told him that, you know, they could start an evidentiary hearing, a trial. He informed him, you can have it in court. You can present all the evidence. The status hearings are normally very short, into 15 minutes. So the district court was not acting out of line or trying to punish Mr. Amato by not taking his evidence. It was a status hearing. It was not an evidentiary hearing. And counsel's right. When there's an evidentiary hearing, there needs to be notice and due process. And that is what Mr. Amato was afforded in this case. He had notice of the counter motion. He had notice of the original hearing date. In fact, the September 4th hearing date was actually set on an order shortening time, which he had requested. And the district court had granted Mr. Amato's request to shorten the time. So the court went above and beyond. It didn't have to grant that order shortening time. It didn't have to continue the hearing when Mr. Amato failed to appear. And it didn't have to allow him additional time on the September 19th hearing because he had not yet paid the parenting coordinator. So the hearing started in the morning, it got continued to the afternoon in order to give Mr. Amato time to pay the parenting coordinator and to review the report himself. The court allowed all of this for Mr. Amato. So in the hearing, it's clear from the transcript that yes, there was a lot of back and forth. Mr. Amato kept interrupting the court. And that actually didn't start just as of September 4th. From looking at the record, all the way back to the March hearing in 2018, Mr. Amato began being admonished by the visiting judge, but then the district court judge in this case. And at the June 8th, 2018 hearing, that the court got to the point where counsel for Mr. Amato actually turned to him and asked him if he was stupid because he would not stop interjecting. So these admonishments by the judge or by a district judge are not unusual. They have to maintain control in their courtroom. And there's not sufficient evidence in the record that this came from any kind of deep-seated antagonism by the district court judge to Mr. Amato. I think the most important thing here is that at the September 19th hearing, Mr. Amato came in. He was given the opportunity to have a full evidentiary hearing. He was given the opportunity to work further with the parenting coordinator. In fact, even after he made this statement that he was going to relinquish his rights, the judge again explained to him that if he didn't want to do that, he would need to go through the same kind of hoops that the mother did when she had to reestablish her visitation with the minor child after she had her misstep with the drug use and the failure to appear. She went through those hoops. She complied with what the court requested of her. Mr. Amato apparently didn't want to have to. So at that point in time, he told the judge, I'm just going to relinquish my rights. And he said it. He repeated it. And then he said he'd get it filed in a week. He confirmed it. Yes.
Ms. Kavanaugh, Bill, the father at that point was presented with the motion of the mother alleging child abuse, the report of the parenting coordinator that was just prepared the day before the hearing, and he was able to read it. That time between the morning and afternoon hearing. And essentially, the judge was going, at least it appears to me, the judge was going with what the parenting coordinator said and was going to restrict Mr. Amato's time. And maybe that was justified, but essentially the judge was considering some evidence, but he wasn't holding an evidentiary hearing. So Mr. Amato is requesting a hearing, and the judge says, yes, you'll get your hearing. So he's not denied a hearing, but he says you'll get it after the start of the year, and this was in September. So what was going to be the situation from September until whenever this hearing was going to be held the following year?
The district court judge instructed him to work with the parenting coordinator, which is not unusual. The parenting coordinator is the best suited individual to work with the parents. So that is what the judge instructed him to do. Continue working with the parenting coordinator. Get him all your information. And if the parenting coordinator would have come back in October or November,
all right, we've lost.
That is,
I'm sorry, Ms. Kavanaugh, Bill, we lost sound there for 5 to 8 seconds. Go ahead. You said he was supposed to work with the parenting coordinator, and the parenting coordinator could come back to the court with a recommendation. But would Mr. Amato have no parenting time while this was going on? And it depended upon largely what the parenting coordinator said, not what the judge said?
Well, the district court, the judge would be the ultimate one to either remove visitation or put it in place. The parenting coordinator would just give the recommendation based on his or her work with the parent, the child, any other involved individuals. So Mr. Amato knew this. I mean, he'd been in litigation for 6 years. This was a heavily litigated case. He knew the routine. When he first started off in this case, he had, as Ms. Whalen mentioned, he had no contact with the child or very little contact with the child for 3 years. So he had already had to go through a reunification plan. He understood what it meant to work with the parenting coordinator. And the judge, the district court judge, noted, he goes, you know, the parenting coordinator used to be your, forget the exact words, but your best friend, your hero. So he knew what he needed to do to address this and what information to get to the parenting coordinator. He had represented himself.
So Ms. Kavanaugh, yes, Bill, then let's just step past this point. Let's say hypothetically you're fine up to this point. So now the judge takes him up on his offer to relinquish his rights. How come there was no written order entered until, you know, 6 months later, and it was Mr. Amato that had to write this order, and then there's a rehearing about the deficiencies in the order, among other issues, and there's never an order entered in this case that talks about the best interests of the child? I mean, what are we supposed to do with that?
Well, there's the minute order was put into place, which put in the minute order that he was going to pursuishment, and that the sole legal and physical custody would go to mother. And so in effect, when he said, I'm going to relinquish my rights, the judge took that as a consent to mom's motion, because if you're relinquishing your rights, the other parent has sole legal and physical. And he waived his right to entry hearing. He didn't want an evidentiary hearing. I don't know why there was no written order. Can you still hear me?
Yes.
Okay, it's telling me there's network issues. I don't know why there was no written order, but yes, Mr. Amato is the one that drafted that and signed it and submitted it to the court. So for him to come back now and argue it's deficient is interesting. And there was, as the court stated in the March hearing, he had done nothing. He hadn't tried to meet with the parenting coordinator from September all the way to March. And he had little to no child support. It was found out later that there was some child support, but little to none. And he'd done nothing to solve it. And in the September 19th hearing, after he stated he wanted to relinquish his rights, the court reminded him, you can meet with the parenting coordinator and try to fix this situation. He never did that. He never did anything. So, I'm sorry.
Ms. Kavanaugh, Bill, again, just hypothetically, let's assume everything is fine to that point. So now you're into the spring, And it turns out that Mr. Amato is contesting the termination of parental rights. He's not relinquishing, he's not signing anything, he's contesting it. But the only basis to cut off his time with the child from September was that he said he'd relinquish his rights. So if he's no longer relinquishing his rights, wouldn't it be incumbent upon the judge at that point to actually have an evidentiary hearing and find out what's in the best interest of the child and enter an order, temporary or otherwise?
Well, Your Honor, I think that would depend on what Mr. Amato had done between that time when he made the statement to the point in time when he came back and said, no, I'm contesting. So by the time that he came back to contest, 6 months had passed. And there's a presumption, as I'm sure you're well aware, and as the district court judge noted, there's a presumption that there's an abandonment issue here. If Mr. Amato was serious about this, the first thing he should have done is picked up the phone and called the parenting coordinator and said, you know, how can I get this back on track? What should I do? What should I be doing? He did nothing. He did nothing. And he knew very well how to use the parenter. There was a lot of, throughout the history of this case, you can see in the record, both the parents knew how to, you know, play the parenting coordinator game and kind of get their position moved up in front of the judge. So he knew what he needed to do. He'd done nothing. And so I don't think it's unusual for a court to say, you know what, let's wait and see what happens, because the child had had no contact with him at that point since August.
Well,
so,
you know, Bill, I don't recall the judge saying in his rehearing or elsewhere that he's basing his decision on abandonment. He simply decided there was no basis to reconsider the original order. And I'm suggesting to you that if there's no relinquishment of parental rights, there's a contested termination hearing, the basis for the original order is no longer in effect. And so now you have to make a new order that addresses the merits of the situation and determines the best interest of the child, which is required by the statute.
And at that point, Mr. Amato could have filed a motion. I know the court told him, I'm not gonna grant it, but you've still got to file the motion first and then get your order saying I'm not gonna grant any visitation. But if Mr. Amato had filed that motion.
He filed his motion for reconsideration.
Sorry.
So yeah, maybe he should have filed more, but nonetheless, ultimately it's up to the judge to determine the best interest of the child. And when the time is cut off with the parent, 100%, just to say that the parent didn't see the parenting coordinator is not determining the best interest of the child. It's certainly something to consider, no doubt about it, and it could be held against Mr. Amato, but the judge is required to go through the factors.
Well, the judge is required to go through the factors, and the case law that I researched and reviewed is in contested cases of custody, where there's and I would argue that his statement about relinquishment was an implied consent to mother's emotional and soul physical. And in those instances, in Rivera versus Rivera, Wayland mentioned the Conway case, but in those instances, the court has said they don't have to walk through the specific factors and analysis. And even the implied, given that he stated he wanted to relinquish, and then his actions afterwards, by not attempting to rescind that statement, by not attempting to have any meetings or discussions with the parenting coordinator in terms of what to do, by not filing any additional motions.
I'm at 15 minutes. My duck sound did not go off, but I did reach 15 minutes on my phone. So if you just
Thank you, Judge.
Have a concluding statement or sentence, and then we have 3 minutes left on Ms. Whalen, and we're behind schedule, so we have to move right through this.
Thank you, Judge. So we would assert that there's no clear discretion, that the judge made the determination for appropriate reasons. A party cannot in and make statement basically consenting to the other person's motion, waive the right to an evidentiary hearing, draft and file a deficient or is deficient, and then wanted to appeal that. And on the issue of disqualification of the judge, these admonishments by the judge were all done on the record. They were all done in court. There was no personal attack on Mr. Amato, and there was nothing that showed that the judge, pursuant to the Cameron v. State case, that he had closed his mind to the presentation of all evidence Nothing. He, in fact, the judge repeated a couple of times at the September 19th hearing, you set for a trial. Let's get this set, evidentiary. And it okay. wasn't.
All right, that's it.
Thank you.
Thank you very Thank much. You. Sorry. Ms. Whalen, go ahead. I'm starting the clock here at 3 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'll try to be brief. First, I will note that while Mr. Amato had notice of the motion, the counter motion, and the status check, he only had notice that there was a status check that was to occur on September 19th, 2018. Had he known that the result would be a drastic change in custody and he could have obtained counsel, which he had done many times in the past, he had brought counsel in an unbundled capacity. So that's the first point. To put things in context about why the statement was made, because I know it's confusing to any of us who are parents why you would make such a statement. The last time Mr. Amato saw his child was August 18th, 2018. Respondent, after that visit, would not return his daughter, made repeated police reports and child abuse allegations. At the September 5th hearing then, the temporary physical custody order was entered and he was ordered to have no contact with his daughter. He was then told at the September 19th hearing that an evidentiary hearing would be held, but likely after the first of the year. Now, that alone, and as Your Honor noted, the parenting coordinator had issued a report that was unfavorable to him. So he felt, not heard at that point and like he was being persecuted. So respondent says that Mr. Amato did nothing after that point, but Mr. Amato was under the impression that there would be an evidentiary hearing in January. As counsel notes, he was promised that several times. When he called the court in December, he learned that that hearing had been canceled, and then he took further action. As to the order submitted on May 30th, Mr. Amato had to submit that order because respondent did not submit the order for 9 months. So in order to make an appeal of his rights, Mr. Amato submitted that order, which the judge signed without modification. And it does accurately reflect what happened at the September 19th status check. This was a contested custody case, and Mr. Amato did make an oral motion for visitation on April 25th, 2019. The judge's only response to that was no. In sum, Your Honors, if the trial court's ruling is permitted to stand, the consequences for Nevada's parents and children could be dire. One sentence is all it could take to lose your child. One sentence uttered in desperation or in frustration will be enough to render you an unfit parent. Being a parent is one of the most challenging endeavors out there. We all, myself included, have said things that we don't mean and have said things that we regret. And if judged as the worst things we ever said as parents, would any of us be a fit parent? This is why there are statutory standards, and this is why the law requires specific findings, and this is why the only consideration is the best interest of the child in all circumstances. We respectfully request that this court reverse the district court's custody determination and reassign the court to a new judge upon remand. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Whalen. You're excellent on the time. You were 12 minutes, just over 12 minutes on the first round and 3 minutes here. So thank you for adhering to that very well. And thank you, Ms. Kavanaugh Bill, also. Both counsel did a great job. It really helps us to understand the case much better. I wish we were in person. We're not. But nonetheless, it's helped. And thanks again for accepting this through the pro bono program, Ms. Whalen. Judge Bowler, Judge Tao, do you have anything further, or are we ready to recess?
We don't have anything further. Thank you both so very much. Yeah. We look forward to seeing you in person one of these days.
Yeah, thank you both. It was a good argument, and thank you for taking this case pro bono. And I echo what Judge Bowler said. Hopefully we'll see you in person sooner rather than later.
We hope so.
All right, we'll take this matter under
you.
Submission, have a written decision in the near future. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Okay. We'll be in recess.